You're listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey, kids.
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's dance-off, bro. Me and you.
Hello, and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm Dan Collins.
I'm Chris Ellis.
And I'm Chris Gilpin.
How's everybody on this fine Friday?
Doing good. So let's get this started off with a promise. Right. Hey guys, that's the last time you're ever going to hear that intro.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. You know, because I have said this many times. But I'm a man of my word, albeit very, very late. And, you know, I have some new intro credits
nice.
That are going to be debuting in the second half of our season. Now, those intro credits, see, I can make this promise because I have it ready.
Oh, nice.
I have it ready. Now, there's room. There's room. I still need some funny clips from a few of us.
Okay.
Realistically, it seems like Adam is the only one where everything he says is just so stupid that we can put it in the intro. Everything he says could go straight in there.
Yeah.
The rest of us, I've had to look around a little bit. So, you know, some of us old guys still have our, some of our old catchphrases in there.
Okay.
Until I can find something new. So, you know, we might still have to have S.H.I.E.L.D. be the bane of Chris's existence.
Yeah. Even though I got it.
Even though you got it like 2 years ago.
Oh, you got it. Nice. Yeah.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So it still might be the bane of his existence until I can find something better to put in.
Okay.
And, you know, Marty might still be upset about Gwenpool.
Until I can
find something better to put in.
I think he just likes how he said that. That's all.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, like, listening to this, I didn't realize till I was reconstructing the credits how much of Sam was in the credits. Because, like, half of everything that's said in the credits is Sam. Mm. Because Sam just has big opinions and they're, you know, come out in a funny way.
Yeah.
So... Now, do you guys want a treat? What about a little teaser of the new credits?
Nice. Yeah.
Because I recorded it specifically this morning. This morning I was just about to leave for work and I was like, you know what would be great for the show tonight? If I played a little clip of the tiniest teaser.
All right.
Let's see.
We're ready.
That's all you get.
That's all I get.
That's pretty much the same as before.
That's my joke.
Oh, jeez.
I was like, wouldn't it be hilarious if I gave them a teaser, but it was everything we've already said.
Yeah.
So, boom.
Nice. Looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing all of the... I'm going to call Adam the new Sam. Looking all forward to the new Sam's... intro where everything he says Adam's way more ridiculous than Sam, like, okay. we all know that Adam is the most ridiculous person we know, and I think that Adam will probably be laughing his butt off when he's listening to this show and going, yeah I am I
never did a show with Sam. Mostly, like, before I would fill in when Sam couldn't make it.
Yeah,
so I never actually did one with Sam. So
yeah,
yeah.
Well, it's unlikely that you ever will at this point.
I'm guessing that that's not going to happen. But yeah, no, I never did one. But we've had lots of fun here on the radio.
So, oh, yeah, for sure.
I'm trying to segue it into something holiday themed, like Sam's the ghost of Christmas past. We're the ghosts of Christmas present, and Adam's the ghost of Christmas future. I don't know.
Christmas future, right?
Yeah, we're all fired, and it's going to be the Adam Bishop show.
That's nice.
Starting next year.
He's going to be very excited for that.
Yeah.
He's going to be like, I don't know how to run the board. I still need you guys for something. I mean, he did discover Peterborough's only real life superhero.
I was just gonna say that'll be his first interview.
Yep.
And Marty has gone super hardcore into Peterborough's real life superhero. He's really interested. Yeah. So, I watched one of the YouTube videos. Marty posted one, and I watched it, and I was like, okay, like this. First of all, he swears too much to be a superhero.
Yeah.
He was dropping lots of swear words, and I mean, come on. You're supposed to be patrolling the streets and keeping us safe, not making me have to put my hands over my kids' ears. But
yeah.
did you watch any of the videos, Chris?
I watched that one.
Yeah,
I watched a little bit of it. Walking in the dark.
I watched the whole thing. My favorite part, and
watching for crackheads.
My favorite part though, yeah, like he literally says watching for crackheads. But he's walking around talking to himself while filming, so people are going to think he's on drugs.
Yes. Oh, yeah, like, for sure.
And dressed the way he
is. Yeah, dressed up like a superhero, walking through the bushes at night, like, in the pitch dark, and talking to himself. Like, people are going to be avoiding him.
Oh, yeah.
Because he looks like he's trouble.
Yeah.
Well, and he's walking around yelling, hello, hello, in the dark.
He hears a twig snap. Hello, hello.
Come step me in my styrofoam bra.
I mean, I will say, all kidding aside, you know, in his video, he talks about doing community outreach and helping the homeless and stuff. And so, you know what? I applaud you for that. Mm-hmm. You know, so we're teasing, but, you know, you are doing some good stuff. We're still not going to give you any publicity on the radio, but Marty will give you enough publicity on his personal page. So,
yeah.
So that's all I got.
That's all you got.
I got a few things.
You got a few things?
So Scarlet Witch trailer, or sorry, Black Widow trailer came out this week. Did anybody catch that?
I kind of avoid trailers intentionally.
Do you?
Yeah, I kind of like to be surprised about a movie. So I try to.
It's very Bourne identity kind of.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, you know how she fights and.
Yeah.
Right. So, and she's confirmed that it takes place between Civil War and the Infinity War, which kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Before she dies.
Before she dies.
Spoiler. Spoiler. Sorry, man. Spoiler. That's like almost a year ago. I think people should be over that by now.
Yeah. Speaking of spoilers, though, like, I just watched a video about surprising character deaths or something, and it was talked about Thanos dying, like, at the beginning of Endgame. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, because I haven't seen it. I still haven't seen it. And I was like, really? Thanos? Oh my god, I should watch that. I'm not gonna, but I should.
You should. Yeah.
I've watched the final battle scene like I don't know how many times on my phone.
Yeah.
Because it's all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Fan reactions.
Howard and Duck. Because he's gonna kick a lot of feather.
Yeah. I haven't seen a lot of the. Haven't seen a lot of the Marvel movies. Sorry, I'm distracted because Tabitha just sent me a meme of like that. It looks like Doctor Doom is doing something to Spider-Man inappropriate, and said, "Talk about this on your show." And I just texted her and said, "Adam's not here." Looks like an adult comic in the making. So, hello.
So tomorrow is the. The holiday market, Fan Expo holiday market.
Oh, okay.
I don't like the name.
No.
They changed it from like Fan Days to the Fan Expo holiday market.
Yeah.
Fan Days was just so much simpler to say.
Yeah.
I've never been.
It's just a mini fan expo.
Yeah. I just never. It's usually on an awkward weekend and stuff's going on. I've never actually made it up. Is it any good? Is it worthwhile going?
Well, I'm going. I've missed Fan Expo for the last 2 years.
Oh, have you?
So this might help a bit.
This one was the first time Adam and I ever hung out was going to the Fan Days event.
Okay.
And we took the train up from Moshawa, the GO train.
Yep.
He bought a Highlander sword. Nice. And carried it home on the train.
Oh,
and I
perfect.
Was like, but he also he forgot about it because he bought it and left it with the vendor because he didn't want to carry it around.
Yeah,
and
that makes sense.
Like the last minute, I was like, Adam, don't forget your sword. And he's like, oh, yeah. So, and it was also the day he bought his first. This was the day that my love of CGC books started because Adam bought Web of Spider-Man number one. It was a 9.6. And that was the first time I looked at a comic and went, you can buy comics for X amount of dollars, but they might still stay worth something. Like comics as a, like not realistically, but comics can be an investment. It's not just like throwing money out the window necessarily, like some other hobbies and stuff.
Yeah.
And because normally I collected everything in trade paperbacks because that's my preferred reading format. But yeah, Adam was Adam started my collecting key comics. So, F you, Adam. I want my money back. So.
Well, if you are going there was a, where'd it go? There was a food. If you bring canned food donations, you get a free bag or a free t-shirt.
Oh, okay.
So, if you're going, bring some canned goods with you.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
They're ripping David Wildstar off. He was the original canned goods guy.
Yeah. That's, you know what? That's a good idea, too. Anything that can help benefit a community while you're going to enjoy something. I mean, yeah, you save a couple of bucks off your ticket by bringing a 69-cent can of food, of soup or something. So it's
let's all do something nice and bring something that you would want to eat this year though.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Don't just bring something that's been in your cupboard. Like, you know what? Go buy your favorite canned food and give that so that somebody has a nice treat.
Yeah. The Quartha Food Share, they like getting peanut butter and Cheese Whiz, and like, because that's stuff that people don't typically buy, and it's usually fairly expensive.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, if you can toss one of those in the bin instead of, you know, a can of tomatoes,
string
soup,
beans,
or
green
string beans.
Beans
or cream corn or something.
French style green beans.
You got her.
Yeah. This is completely off topic, but like, I saw this thing that was posted online that was it was an advent calendar of kindness. So every day for December gives you a kind thing you should do. Yeah, and so I've been following that because, you know what? Like, there's a lot of people struggle through the holidays.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't know what difference you doing some small nice thing might make in somebody's life.
That's right.
Yeah.
A lot of the things they put on their calendar of kindness are things that I try to do anyways, just like being nice to people in stores and like opening the door for people. Like, I always open the door if somebody's behind me. I hold it open, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's people that might not necessarily do that stuff, and if they do it even just for this one month, then humanity has gained
a little bit of something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, speaking of trailers, I should be sitting in the middle because I'm looking at two Chris's over here. Like, I can't say, hey, Chris, did you watch this? Because then you're both like, what?
Did we? Well, you'll probably get a one yes and a no, or two yeses or two noes.
Did anybody watch the new James Bond trailer?
No.
I haven't yet.
Darn you guys.
I was going to, and I didn't.
I watched it specifically this morning because I thought that, like, I was like, you know what? I bet Marty's watched this 14 times, so we can talk about it.
I I just haven't been overly happy with the last few James Bond movies. They're just not corny enough for me now. They're taking themselves too serious.
I was going to tisk you, but I can't because I do enjoy corny James Bond as well. But I do also like the serious James Bond. This one feels like the trailer feels like maybe just like a slight return to some of the out there-ness of, you know, maybe like the Pierce Brosnan days, which are not super out there, but
no.
You know, like because they showed the car having machine guns coming out of it and stuff, and you know.
Oh, see, now that that's what makes James Bond fun, right? You know, seeing him sitting in a chair while the guy's like smashing him from below is not quite.
Watching him be tortured by getting hit in the groin.
Yeah, and you're like, what are we watching now? Like. It got pretty dark.
Adam's Home Videos.
some of the names of the ladies in those older movies would be right up his alley in those comics.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, like, you know what? I like the Daniel Craig ones for... because they changed with the times. Like, they were more realistic spy movies.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I enjoyed that.
You're watching the trailer.
Yeah, I could hear. And of course, everybody expected that the last James Bond movie would be the last one for Daniel Craig, but then he came back for one more.
I'm surprised because after the last one, he was really not impressed with like the James Bond as a character. He was, you know, right straight out in the media. I don't think he did any of the press release stuff. And typically that's like a death sentence. And I'm surprised he's doing another one.
I wonder if he thought like they weren't going to offer him another one. So he was like, you know what? Then I'm not going to promote this one. And then they were like, hey, do you want to do one more? And he's like, I love James Bond. James Bond is the greatest.
He's awesome. I love him.
I also, I don't know if you remember, but there was a huge uproar like 6 months ago when they first, maybe even a year ago when they first talked about the fact that there was going to be a female secret agent who had the codename 007. And everybody was like, you can't replace James Bond. And nobody's replacing James Bond. The whole point of the thing is that he's retired. Like, this takes place after a few years later. He's retired. Somebody else has the codename.
Yeah.
007.
And actually, I think in the last movie, did they not allude to the fact that James Bond itself was a code name? Like, it was a name passed down.
Because
they kind of alluded to all of the previous James Bonds as, without saying, oh, there was this guy and that guy and this guy. But basically, I think it's Q says something, or M, or says something to him. And it basically alludes to a James Bond past that goes beyond him. So, I mean, if that's the direction they're going to go, potentially anybody could be James Bond.
Now, listen, who has the rights for James Bond comics? Is it IDW?
Because
I know they're publishing something.
Yeah, it's either Boom or IDW.
I'm just going to put this out there. I'll write the Edge of the James Bond verse for you, where we bring all the James Bonds together from different universes. I'll write that.
Yeah.
You know? It won't be good, but I'll write it.
Sure, it'll be good. But now you've just made it so they won't do it, right?
No, now somebody else is going to do it because nobody's listening to this radio show.
It looks like it's Dynamite.
Dynamite, oh, yes.
Dynamite? Okay.
Now, I do know that for Black Friday last week, Comixology was running, I mentioned it last week, they were having a sale, a 99-cent sale every day. There was a deal. And last week, one of the deals was like one of the new James Bond volumes for 99 cents. And so I picked that up. I haven't read it yet.
Okay.
But I did pick that up. So that's topical.
Well, I was going to segue into shows that replace the main character as part of the show.
Okay.
The old Doctor Who.
The old Doctor Who, yes. Yeah. You know, Doctor Who.
We've had a trailer for the season.
Yeah.
And a trailer, well, a piece of the first episode was out today.
Oh, was there?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
So it what do you think? I'll ask you first, Dan, because you're the
Whovian.
The Whovian, yeah.
What do you
think of the of the overall trailer for the season?
Okay. Let's go back and replay the episode 2 years ago where we spent an entire episode talking about Dr. Who.
I mean, when you ranted for an hour.
Yeah. I should go mine that episode for some clips of me.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I binged the season after it finished, and I thought the season as a whole was okay. I thought it probably was because I was watching the first three episodes on my phone, and that's never a good way to try to watch a show. So, but yeah, I'm okay with it. I'm still not a big fan. Somebody posted a clip of one of Peter Capaldi's last a speech he gave. The speech he gave in the last episode when, or maybe not the last episode, the episode before when it was the two masters, mm-hmm. and he was giving the speech about like. Why does he do this? Because he's kind or something like that. Like, and I was like, this is why I love Doctor Who. Like he gives speeches,
yeah.
You know, he has a way with words, and David Tennant and Matt Smith both always had like a great little speech that always fit the character. And I think that what's missing in Jodie Whittaker's Doctor is that, A, they don't have those same little, like, I'm going to call them righteous speeches, but mm-hmm. not righteous in a bad way, but, like, righteous, like they fit and, like, they're telling you in the audience what's right, and it's supposed to be a kid's show, so that's okay, you know? But also, like, all those other doctors had an anger in them. Like, they had this anger when things were not righteous. When the bad guys were winning, they had this anger. And, like, it burned them. It burned within them. And Jodie Whittaker is just way too passive.
Mm. Okay. So, let's get to the preview of the season.
Two. I just watched the trailer. I haven't seen whatever else there is, but...
No, but for the overall season, do you watch that trailer?
Yeah.
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 They seem to have a lot more familiar faces, let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, yeah, they teased some new villains coming back, or some repeating villains from previous seasons, mm-hmm. from classic Tennant, Moffat, and beyond years, yes.
Yeah. Cybermen,
the Jadoon. I don't know, I enjoyed the last season, and I'm looking forward to watching this one. Yeah. Everybody says it's going to be the last one with Jodie Whittaker and Chris Chibnall.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it hasn't been very good.
Yeah.
Like, in my opinion, it doesn't feel like Doctor Who.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully there was tons of feedback from the season. So hopefully they listened to some of the fans. And
the one thing, yes, the one thing that I thought was funny was there was like a post that was like, this season there's going to be some epic two-part episodes, and I literally looked at that and went, that wasn't what the problem was.
No,
the problem wasn't that there weren't two-part episodes. Yeah. The problem is that you like the each 45 minute episode felt like you were stretching that already.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. So stretching it into two episodes.
Yes, like nobody was complaining that there wasn't any two-part episodes last year. That was never once mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Yeah. But yes, I'm the diehard, you know, I will watch it. I will support it with my money, even if it's not my favorite. And the reason is because the whole show is just about rebirth and, you know,
mm-hmm.
eventually there'll be another doctor that maybe I will like more.
Yeah.
So
I've never watched Doctor Who.
Oh, no.
At all. So it's, I didn't have much to add to that conversation, but... it's when you get to like a certain character on TV and you're watching the show for that one, and then they end it and bring in mm-hmm. somebody new. If you don't have the same attachment to that, now maybe Doctor Who is a little bit different because there's a lot more history and a lot more, it's not uncommon for them to change the actor up frequently, but man, that can be detrimental to a series.
Yeah, I can. You're taking a big risk, for sure.
Yeah. And then, especially, like, when they had a female doctor, right? Like mm-hmm. that was kind of the big hoopla there when yeah. they first released the series. But
still is.
And honestly, I don't personally. I didn't watch it, so wasn't invested in the other guys. But
yeah.
For me, I was like, okay, you know, they're just trying something different, trying to shake it up, maybe trying to get new viewers to watch it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
So you can't really blame people for trying something different.
Yeah.
But
if you listen to the episode where I ranted for an entire hour, I would say you can blame people for trying something different for the wrong reasons.
If
it was just a stunt to try to get ratings, you know, like I feel like there is absolutely no reason why the doctor can't be a woman.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't like the writing on this. Chris Chibnall is not a science fiction writer.
Yeah,
the episodes he wrote previously for Doctor Who, I think, are among the most forgettable. Mm. And I just don't. He can write amazing British detective shows, and I will watch all of those. But I don't want to watch the doctor as a British detective in space.
Right,
like the. Right. There's no fantasy to it. He mm-hmm. took the fantasy out. That's what, like I said when I watched the first episode, I was like, the magic that made Doctor Who special is gone. I'm watching a procedural crime drama.
Yeah.
Dark, grainy shots.
Yeah.
You know, there's literally none of that, like, vibrancy and life that the show has. Yeah. So... That was my complaint.
No issue whatsoever with Jodie Whittaker.
No, like, you know, when she was cast, I was, you know, for a week or two, I was like, why did they do this? Because I'm assuming that they did it for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was like, you know what? It doesn't matter why they did it. Let's see what's coming. And yeah, like, and you know, I took Tabitha to watch the first episode because I was hoping, she's never watched Doctor Who, and I was hoping, like, hey, maybe she'll mm-hmm. like it and we can watch it together. And we watched it and she was like, that was all right. And I was like, you don't care? And she's like, no, like, it wasn't anything special. And I'm like, I agree.
Yeah.
So, like, if she's the target audience, a female who has never watched the show, they failed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and they also failed to keep the viewers who are their core viewership, which
happy.
Yeah, they made them mad. So I'm going to predict that the next doctor is going to be a hunky David Tennant type, you know, to try to get back the insane viewing figures they had.
Well,
but they really need to get the writer back. That's more what it sounds like, you know?
Yeah. Well, people were kind of up in arms when, Capaldi was cast, right? Because he was so much older than Smith and Tennant.
Well, and they really, like, they shot themselves in the foot because they had a role, like, they were at an all-time high in the States, and then they cast Peter Capaldi, and all the teenage girls that had fallen in love with Matt Smith were like, well, I don't want to watch this grandpa.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, tuned out.
Yeah.
And it's hard to recover from that, because even good storytelling won't recover those viewers that were only tuning in because they were enjoying the actor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You just can't recover from that.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I can hope is, because I have heard rumors too, like, and rumors, obviously, but I've heard rumors that the BBC might just end the show completely because of how it's performing, and that would be terrible.
Yeah.
And I don't think they would, because, as I said, the show is all about regeneration and renewal. So maybe, if anything, they would, you know, wait 2 or 3 years or something and then put a new doctor out, because why not? But
yeah.
They just have to bring back Karen Gillan and I'll watch. It was her birthday last week and I was going to say something like, oh, happy birthday to the best companion ever.
You know,
that's going to start a fight.
I really loved Amy as a companion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought she was just a fun, feisty character, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, but yeah. And then Clara, I don't care at all for.
Oh, no.
No.
Okay.
All right. So I need to rewatch, because, like, season, not the last Capaldi season, but the one before, I went to rewatch it last year and realized that somehow two of my Blu-ray discs got cracked. And so there was like six episodes I can't watch.
Right.
And I asked for a new set for Christmas and got it last year, but haven't rewatched that one yet. But I do enjoy the Capaldi ones. But like, I was such a crazy Matt Smith, like Matt Smith era Doctor Who fan that I would DVR the episodes off of TV back before they had things you could, like, I would literally be making discs on them. And I would rewatch, like, I would watch the episode, then I would watch it again the next day, and then once again before the next episode aired. So I'd watch the episode three times in a week.
Yeah.
And all I can say is, man, I had too much time on my hands. How much time did that guy have? Holy cow.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm New Year's Day. That's when the new season starts. No Christmas special. There was rumors again that they were going to sneak it out on Christmas, but New Year's Day is as good as any other day, realistically. It's only one week later. But I kind of like the Christmas episodes.
Yeah.
Like I don't know. It does feel like a weird little tradition, to watch a Christmas episode. So
yeah. I'd love to see River back.
Yeah.
That would be nice.
And that's the whole problem with Chibnall's approach, though, is it's like a scorched earth policy to anything that came before him.
Tossed everything out.
He literally didn't. It took them seven episodes to even reference that there had been a doctor before him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not... You can't keep fans happy by completely ignoring the past.
Yeah.
So.
Not really.
Chris Ellis looks really, really intrigued here. So let's segue into something that's more fun for him.
Segue into something else.
Now, Dan, you don't watch the TV shows, right? Most of the...
Which TV shows?
Like Flash, Supergirl. Do you watch those?
I don't.
You don't. And do you?
No. I watched The Flash and Arrow, like, in the very early, early onsets, but no.
Okay.
The new stuff got more... It actually kind of went away from being, like, a superhero to, like, soap opera drama. And then it lost me.
Yeah. Yeah, especially Arrow. Arrow was bad.
Oh, yeah. Like...
More romance and less... action, like no.
Yeah, and I mean, they must have had a certain amount of viewership that was interested in that.
Yeah,
but it wasn't me, and it just, like, pretty much after Deathstroke was off the show, I pretty much stopped watching it.
Well, they're working on Crisis on Infinite Earths.
I've seen like some of the stuff for that, and it almost makes me want to watch it.
Yeah,
like, almost.
Yeah. Well, I'm definitely going to watch it. But they've got Brandon Routh.
Right? Yeah.
You know, he plays Ray Palmer on the One Show, but he's coming in as Superman from Kingdom Come.
Yeah.
But I believe that's the character he played in the Superman movie way back when.
I think so, yeah.
So they're the weird, well, it's all kind of weird, but the weird, really weird part is that in Flash, every season they have a new Harrison Wells.
Yes.
Right? Well, this new guy, he's becoming Pariah from the Crisis on Infinite Earths. I don't know if you remember that.
No.
And
I remember.
You remember Pariah?
Yeah.
And
he was the, like, Herald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you also have Harbinger, the woman.
Yeah.
She's being played by... the wife from Arrow.
Felicity?
No. The other guy's wife, Diggs. Diggle, his wife.
Yeah.
For some reason, she's now working with the Monitor, and she just became Harbinger.
Okay.
So that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I guess they wanted to work the characters in the show somehow.
I guess.
But they got Black Lightning.
Yep.
On the show, so it's interesting the crossover that's going to be.
The amount of people and characters that they're bringing in for this is just massive.
Yeah, because they've got the Smallville crew, a couple of them. And someone's got a baby out there, so I think we're going to see John Kent.
Okay.
The son, right? Superboy. But just as a baby. So, Batwoman, I know Batwoman's, I like it. I know, I don't think Martin likes it, but I think it's a good show. It's entertaining. But she's in there as well, so it's a pretty huge crossover.
So the only show that Black Lightning is the show that I've watched the most episodes of, and that was 4. Mm-hmm. I've watched 4 episodes of Black Lightning.
My son liked Black Lightning. He watched them all.
I was enjoying it. And then, there was no reason why, well, there was reasons why I stopped, but they're not pertinent to this conversation. But, like, it had nothing to do with the show, just, like, weird stuff happening in my life, okay? Leave me alone, guys.
Yeah, I saw that it was coming up, and they've been kind of hyping it. Like, you get to see stuff on, I follow, like, The Flash and Green Arrow. So you see stuff like that all across the board.
Yeah.
And trying to push it. Actually, I just saw one where they had Superman was dead. You know, like, it was like the classic.
And the comic picture book of Lois, cover
with the cape and looking like a flag, and I just saw that. Actually, I saw that one tonight, but
I saw that today too.
Yeah.
So, Birds of Prey, the Harley Quinn and Birds of Prey movie that's coming out.
Yeah,
they released the character posters.
Okay.
Like Black Canary. How is that Black Canary? She's got a big yellow. Not big, but the yellow shirt on carrying a baseball bat.
Yeah, but there's a black canary across her chest there.
No, that's just her bra.
Is she wearing black pants?
Okay. That's just her bra. Oh, okay. Well, and she has jeans on.
That's what happens, Chris, when you're across the
room. I appreciate that you thought that was something to do with the thing and not just blatant sex.
Yeah.
Just throwing it out there, I guess.
Yeah. The Huntress is, I mean, she kind of looks badass. And,
yeah.
But still not.
She looks angry. I don't know.
She looks very angry, yes. Harley Quinn is Harley Quinn. Cassandra Cain, has been Batgirl before.
Okay, so, that looks like a pop album cover.
It looks like Jubilee from the X-Men.
Yeah.
But there's no, whether she's going to don the, I doubt she's going to don the Batgirl outfit in this movie, but it seems to be very strange.
Well, you know what's even more strange than the movie is they've changed the name of the comic book to try and get the people who are going to go watch this to buy the comic book. In the new previews, it's Harley Quinn in the Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
So they're just trying to piggyback off of, which I guess, you know, kind of makes a little bit of sense, but really Birds of Prey is like, it's like calling it Wolverine and the X-Men. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or like Cyclops and the X-Men. Yeah. It's just like, why does one person have like top billing?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. It's a team, right?
Yeah.
So you know who the focus of the book is going to be. And if you're not Harley Quinned out, then you might be interested in it. But, you know.
What was the name of the X-Men book that was Wolverine and the X-Men? The one where he was the teacher at...
Yeah, that's what it was called. Wolverine and the
X-Men. Yeah. So...
Yeah.
So
as soon as I said it, I was like, oh, dang it.
They also did a cartoon called Wolverine and the X-Men.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
I wonder if it worked.
I don't know.
Funny tidbit is as I was looking for clips to make the new intro, I was listening to some of our very, very, very old shows. And I came across a clip from like one of our first 5 or 6 shows where we were talking about the fact that there's supposed to be a Booster Gold movie coming out.
Mm.
And it was supposed to be a buddy cop movie with Booster and the Blue Beetle.
Yeah,
and I was like, oh, man. I wish that had happened.
Yeah.
Like, because I love Booster.
Yeah.
So,
but knowing the way things work, they would probably use the new Blue Beetle instead of the...
Even still.
Instead of Ted Corder.
Could have still been fun.
Yeah, it would have been interesting.
I just have no faith in DC movies at all.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Maybe an animated movie. They seem to do okay there.
Yeah. What's interesting, though, is like, take Green Lantern. The animated movie and the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern for like the first almost 40 minutes are like the same movie.
Yeah.
You know, like they're exact because it's the origin, right? So but it's almost like frame for frame, shot for shot, like what happens. And it was like, okay, So I enjoyed the cartoon, and then when they did the movie, it was like, all right, well, that's weird. And then it gets really weird, you know, with like the Hot Wheels track. And but you know what? I enjoy the Green Lantern movie. I think it's fun to watch. My kid enjoys it, so we watch it together.
Yeah. I like Ryan Reynolds, so I didn't mind the Green Lantern movie
either. Yeah.
But it was silly.
I still have to go with the fact that Hal Jordan isn't supposed to be a funny character, though.
Hal Jordan is like, not anywhere near funny.
Like, he's maybe, like, a bit of a smartass, but that's it. Like, he's not Deadpool. like Ryan Reynolds was just being Deadpool.
Yeah. In a green costume.
In a green costume.
Yeah.
That's why that movie failed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the other character
he should have been Lobo in the Lobo movie.
Or Lobo that was on... Krypton.
Yeah.
He was okay on that. Unfortunately, it was canceled, but anyways. So the other character in the movie is Renee Montoya.
The Question. Well, not The Question.
She will become The Question eventually. Played by Rosie Perez, which if she talks with that high squeaky voice, then that's not going to work for me. She's got some weird red scarf. I don't know. It's like a It's in the one picture there, but it's also in her. I have no idea what that is.
It gives her her superpowers.
But she doesn't have superpower until she becomes the Question.
The Question doesn't have superpowers.
No. Just like, puts just a mask on.
Yeah, and has maybe like some smoke bombs or something to escape. I don't know.
Yeah.
I should read some more Question comics because I always liked the character, and I read the Renee Montoya, how she became the Question in the series 52, and I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah,
I've heard there's some good Question comics out there.
That's your detective type books.
Yeah.
So what about Watchmen?
I was going to say, can we segue this into the Watchmen, speaking of the Question?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the Watchmen.
I have not either.
Have you, Chris?
Yes, I am up to date.
I'm very okay. With my new job, for the first time in my entire life, I have 2 weeks off at Christmas. So I think I might like
binge.
Get the Crave app and just binge it because HBO is on the Crave app. And I'm seriously considering that because I've heard everybody has said such like now we're this far in and everybody is still talking about how great it is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like two good episodes and it drops off. So I'm very excited to watch.
When the trailer first came out, it was like, what is this? This isn't The Watchmen. Because I had assumed they were going to do like the book.
Okay.
But this is like 30 years later type thing.
Yeah.
From the books.
Okay.
So, and they reference the books, not the movie, where it's the alien octopus that appeared in the city.
Okay.
Not the nuclear bomb and stuff. But the last episode was like, wow, I got to watch that again. Because there's a lot of good stuff happening in that show. And some characters, there's a couple characters from the books in there. A little older, but still there. Ozymandias, he's in there, which is very strange. I won't get into him, but he's pretty strange. But there's another character that took me a while. Well, I guess that was the whole point to figure out who she was, and she was part of the book, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really good.
I know, like, I could just watch the trailer for the movie The Watchmen, and that would, like, pump me up. Like, there's just something, The Watchmen, the movie, I thought the movie was pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it was, I feel, faithful to the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if there was deviations or whatever, it was still faithful to the idea behind the story.
Yeah.
And the story itself is phenomenal. And I know Marty talks a lot about, like, he reads it like once a year.
Yeah.
And I've read it like maybe two or three times, but I actually pulled it out of storage to read it because somebody pointed out to me that the panels are all mirrored in that comic. So if you look in, the panels will be between the two page spreads. They're all mirrored.
I didn't
even realize. And I was looking, I was like, yeah, they're like, a lot of them are mirrored, and also 9-panel pages.
Mm-hmm.
So that is something that I didn't even notice when reading either.
Yeah.
And then I was just like, there's so much more that they show. Like that's what makes it feel. Because we get cheated in comics nowadays a lot with 3-panel pages, and your whole comic book is 60 panels, you know?
Yeah.
And this, you got, you know, 180 panels there.
Yeah.
And so you're like, there's a lot that can happen.
Yeah. Well, what's his name? The writer. He's never short for words. So.
No.
Yeah.
Because when you read like The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, it's similar, I think, really heavy,
yeah,
thick content. So. And V for Vendetta, he did
yeah,
that as well.
Yeah, right? I haven't read League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I've read V for Vendetta. I haven't read From Hell. That one always intimidated me because it was huge. Like it was just really thick. So, but I should pick that one up. Secondhand, because we're not supposed to support Alan Moore with our actual money because he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
So.
He's something, all right.
Oh, he's definitely interesting.
But yes, The Watchmen, I definitely want to watch that.
Yeah, it's definitely worth watching. It's one of those shows where you have to keep watching to get really into it.
Yeah.
Because when you start, you're going like, oh, this is really weird. Like all these guys running around wearing Rorschach masks and stuff.
Yeah.
And the cops have their faces covered with the yellow bandanas or whatever. And it takes some adjusting, I found.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. You get into it more as it goes along, right? Like I'm not going to spoil it, but last week's episode or this week's episode was just crazy. It was pretty awesome. But, yeah. Good show.
You have to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's only two episodes. I think they're coming to an end pretty soon for season one. So there wouldn't be, I think the same way with The Mandalorian, which was also awesome today.
My son was watching 4 while I was getting supper ready tonight. And so I caught bits and pieces of episode 4 and I was like, now I gotta watch the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I'm enjoying The Mandalorian. I really am. It's an interest. I always like seeing the Star Wars universe without a lightsaber in it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, in a galaxy, you know, like the whole amount of space and the handful of Jedi that would be like chucked out into that, yeah, would be so small,
mm-hmm,
that the odds of the majority of the people ever bumping into one would be like,
yeah,
almost next to none.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to watch a movie and, you know, there, you don't see any of that, even though they hit kind of like familiar places, like, you know, it was on Tatooine, right? So it was like, you see familiar places and you're like, hey, this is kind of, and like I said, I only caught like bits and pieces and my son's like, hey dad, look, it's Tatooine. And I'm like, ah, but
yeah.
So I've seen 1 through 3 and I'm enjoying it. Baby Yoda is like,
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just gave it away, but he's getting in a bit of a dogfight at the beginning of this new episode, and he has to fly to the nearest planet, right? And he's like, sure, I need to land. And they're going like, this is Mos Eisley Tower. Mos Eisley. Yeah. So, you know, and he starts walking around Mos Eisley, and it's just like, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah, and it hits you right in the nostalgia button, right?
Oh, like, yeah. This episode, I was just like, Oh man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's pure bounty hunter.
Yeah.
No Jedi or anything like that. It's just, yeah, you know, not just him being a bounty hunter, but everybody else around him being bounty hunters.
Yeah, and seeing Lando in the first couple episodes was interesting. I mean, because you always know Lando is...
That wasn't Lando.
Is not?
No, that's Carl Weathers, yeah.
Oh, it's Carl Weathers.
Yeah, he's head of the head of the bounty hunter.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. My bad.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm actually enjoying it. We were talking yesterday and they're like, did you see Boba Fett in the first episode? I'm like, no. They're like, he's in one of the backgrounds. You gotta watch it. And like, oh man, that's way too much work.
Yeah.
To try and watch it frame by frame to see if you can. But he's been watching like podcasts and all this other stuff.
It wasn't him though.
Okay.
Yeah, because the next episode you realize that place where Mando went is the guild, like, not the guild, but the Mandalorian hangout.
Yeah.
So there's like a whole bunch of them there.
Oh, yeah.
So whoever walked by wasn't Boba Fett. He was just another Mandalorian.
So, or was it?
Or was it?
Season two, another Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that, I mean, you know something is blowing out of proportion when Christine, who does not watch science fiction, you know something's blowing up huge when Christine says, you know, what's this all about Baby Yoda? You know, like, she doesn't watch the show, but he is everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? Like, when was the last time we had something like this?
Groot. Baby Groot.
Baby Groot. Yeah. Like,
so here's your, take a character, make it a baby, instant win.
Yeah. That's right. Where's Baby Chewie?
I
season two.
Remember seeing there was a meme going around that was like a guy rubbing his hands together gleefully, and it was captioned Artist Alley artists when they see Baby Yoda.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because that's all the art you see is people making Baby Yoda art.
Yeah, because you imagine they're going crazy right now, just pumping out t-shirts and...
Guess what you're going to see tomorrow, Chris?
Yep. Yeah, Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda, I'm gonna everything.
Count I'm going to count them.
Everywhere.
I hope you see a Baby Yoda cosplayer.
Yeah. Or somebody walking around as a Mandalorian carrying a little Baby Yoda.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But the Baby Yoda, it kind of throws off of timeline, like, because Yoda himself was 900 years old, right?
Yeah.
And he had trained Jedi for 800 years. So at 100 years old, he was training Jedi. This Baby Yoda, who can't even speak, is 50 years old.
Yeah. So lots happens between
just like the X-Men meme, right? What happened between Ian McKellen's X-Men and you know, the other guy, like, there's a difference of 5 years, and he went from a young man to an old man.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, how did, you know, so in that 50 years, he must change to, like, from baby years to, like, dog years or something, age 7 years for everyone or something.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, so it was, I thought that was kind of humorous.
Or Yoda lied.
Yeah.
Yeah, that could be true, too. He's a shifty character.
Yeah.
I mean, who would have thought from what we see of Yoda that he would become such a, like, in it's the second movie, right?
Yeah.
Or is it, yeah, that he appears. And, like, Empire, he's just a crazy old weird thing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
literally, he's just a crazy old weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Becomes one of the most beloved characters in Star Wars, in the entire Star Wars canon, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in the prequels, when he starts jumping around with his lightsaber, people went crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went crazy with anger.
He's walking around with a little cane, and all of a sudden he throws it away and whips out his lightsaber. Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, it starts ricocheting off the walls.
That, my friends, is fan service gone too far.
Yeah.
He that, sounds like I was Grover. Just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Well,
this is the worst.
I guess. For me personally, as a Star Wars fan, I was like, hey, Yoda's finally doing what we know that Yoda can do, right? And then it was like, wait a second. Because I always wanted to see Yoda with a lightsaber, right? Mm-hmm. I just wanted to see him use it. And then he starts, like, bouncing off the ceiling and, like, and it's like,
and that's
what
the heck
happened,
like,
here?
Yoda, yeah. I would have been all in for Yoda being, like, just standing there and, you know, doing the, like, come at me thing and then just barely moving and defending himself. Yeah. You know, that is Yoda.
Yeah.
Not some hyper lightsaber ball bouncing across the ceiling. Like, that was so ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, I could absolutely see. And even as an older Yoda, you know, like, before the prequels, like, because he's obviously good. He's obviously one of the most powerful Jedi. So he doesn't have to be some weird spaz ball to be a really cool character. Like, it would have been so much more appealing to me to have him just be, like, very subdued, but so effective, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you dare to challenge me? Like, do you? I've been doing this for 800 years. I can take you down with barely moving my wrist.
Yeah. That was the Count Dooku fight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he fought Palpatine, it was a bit better. A bit better.
I don't even remember.
It
because...
was a lot more subdued. He wasn't like ricocheting off the ceiling and all that craziness. Yeah. So, yeah, I think they kind of went, whoa, we went a little overboard on this one. So
they
did kind of dial it back and make it a bit more realistic. And
Yeah.
What is with... not all of the new comics, but all of Marvel with the 2020 logo on it. So Iron Man is Iron Man 2020 Force Works, which I actually thought was kind of interesting because it's USA Agent, who most people won't even know who the heck that is at all.
I think he's in the new show, though, the Falcon.
Okay.
I think.
Is that what's going
Falcon
on with
and
that?
Winter Soldier, I think.
And then War Machine in their back, and then they've got, like, Mockingbird and Quake. But it's like... they're trying to sort of hit on some like 90s nostalgia to get those guys back. I mean, I read Force Works. I have like the first 10 issues. But it was like, we're going through the previews and I'm looking at it. I'm like, what's with everything being labeled 2020 all of a sudden? Like, is that going to be the new thing? It's now 2021, 2022 instead of volumes. Cause now like the volumes are all whacked out with the new series starting every month. And,
Yeah.
It's going to go from 2020 all the way to 2099. That's when they'll quit.
Well, you know what? With the 2099 actually being back again, I picked up the Alpha. I haven't actually read it. I just got it. But I'm really curious to see, because the cover for the Alpha has all of the original 2099 characters. Mm. The original Spider-Man, they did not get Hulk right on the picture, because Hulk is more dragonish and this one is just like Hulk with a big long tongue.
They realize that they want to keep the Hulk more like the Hulk.
They're trying to get people to like, hey, this is the Hulk, but they have like the Punisher and the weird like 2099 costume that they gave him and stuff. But yeah, no, I'd like to kind of hit a nostalgia nerve for me, so I was like, I gotta read that.
All right, well, that's all the time that we've got for this episode. So as always, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, maybe not. I'm not sure. I'm never sure if we're there. This is our last show for a couple of weeks. We'll be back sometime in the new year, hopefully with some Christmas goodies that we can talk about. So until then, have a good holiday and see you on the other side.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
Check for Eugene Levy, CFFF. promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.